get older, losing my hair many years from now. Will you still be sending me a valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
64. Oh my God.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Rob Stahl. Today is Monday, August 9th, 2004. And here we are with What Should You Expect at Your Age? The answer to that question is a lot. And my listeners, especially the older adults and caregivers out there, shouldn't settle for less. Check out the website, whatshouldyouexpect.com, for the 9 expectations for older adults. We had a very interesting session broadcast last week. My guest was the program director of the Alzheimer's Association of Western New York, Leilani Pelletier. We talked about memory problems and Alzheimer's disease with 3 key take-home messages. 1, not all memory problems are from Alzheimer's disease. 2, there are many approaches and resources that can improve the lives of both patients and caregivers dealing with dementia. And don't wait to get the help you need. If you missed last week's show, you can listen to it in its entirety at the show's website, whatshouldyouexpect.com, where you can also find the 9 expectations, or contact the Alzheimer's Association of Western New York at 626-0600 for patient and caregiver advice. The week before that, I was happy to have Pam Krawczyk on the show as my guest, the Commissioner of Erie County Senior Services, and the main number there to get help on a variety of issues for older adults and caregivers is 858-8526. Now, the phone lines are open, 855-6848, 855-6848. We'll start taking the calls momentarily. Now, what I want to do today is introduce my guests. A very special group of young ladies. We have 4 ladies in the studio. They're dressed in purple and red. Purple and red. We have red hats on the blouses. We have red hats on the heads. We have ladies that are members of the Red Hat Society. Several Red Hat Societies are represented here today. Now, I'd like to introduce them. First, we have Jean Duffy. Hello, Jean.
Hello there.
Don't be shy.
No, I won't.
We want to hear from you. I don't want to hear myself this whole program. Dorothea Haas.
Hi.
Hi, Dorothea. Janet Cosman.
Hi.
Hi. And Gail Siskin.
Hello.
Hello. Now, we're going to have some fun today. The theme of today's show is Fun and Friendship After 50 Years Old. And this is the subtitle of the best-selling book, The Red Hat Society. Currently number 10 on the New York Times paperback best-selling advice books. Now, 3 take-home messages for today. 1, try to bring fun into your life. 2, it's people that makes the world go round. And 3, you don't have to act your age. I know I don't. My wife and my kids tell me that all the time. I'm 47. I'll get that right out there in the open. And in my head, I still act like I'm 18 or 20, especially when I get injured on the softball field. And our ladies here, I won't say who's what age, but we're represented mainly in the mid-70s, and one person won't disclose her age, which I understand absolutely. Now, the Red Hat Society is open to ladies starting at 50 years of age. Fun and friendship after 50. I'd like to play something in a moment. First, I want to read the statement of purpose from the founder of the Red Hat Society, Sue Ellen Cooper. She's known as the Queen Mother of the Red Hat Society. It's currently a national society going on international. And this is what she says. The Red Hat Society began as a result of a few women deciding to greet middle age with verve, humor, and elan. We believe silliness is the comedy relief of life, and since we are all in it together, we might as well join red-gloved hands and go for the gusto together. Underneath the frivolity, we share a bond of affection forged by common life experiences and a genuine enthusiasm for wherever life takes us next. Now, Gene, you volunteered to read the poem that was the starting point of this group.
Okay, this is the poem called Warning, excuse me, by Jenny Joseph, and it's sort of our inspiration. When I am an old woman, I shall wear purple with a red hat that doesn't go and doesn't suit me, and sit in sandals and say we've no money for butter. I shall sit down on the pavement when I'm tired and gobble up samples in shops and press alarm bells and run my stick along the public railings and make up for the sobriety of my youth. And I shall go out in my slippers in the rain and pick the flowers in other people's gardens and learn to spit. You can wear terrible shirts and grow more fat and eat 3 pounds of sausage at a go, or only bread and pickle for a week and hoard pens and pencils and beer mats and things in boxes. But now we must have clothes that keep us dry and pay our rent and not swear in the street and set a good example for the children. We must have friends to dinner and read the papers. But maybe I ought to practice a little now, so people who know me are not too shocked and surprised when suddenly I am old and start to wear purple.
That was wonderful.
Very good.
Very good. Now, I want to tell a joke, or read a joke, that's a follow-up of last week's show. I excerpted some emails that the caregiver of an Alzheimer's patient of mine had sent me, the wife of an Alzheimer's patient. And she believed strongly that humor could help through just about anything. And this is what she said to me. We might as well laugh or else we might cry more, right? And then this is the joke. Three old men are at the doctor for a memory test. The doctor says to the first old man, what is 3 times 3? 274 was his reply. The doctor worriedly says to the second man, it's your turn. What is 3 times 3? Tuesday, replies the third man. The doctor sadly says to the third man, okay, it's your turn. What's 3 times 3? 9, said the third man. That's great, exclaims the doctor. How did you get that? Geez, doctor, it's pretty simple, says the third man. I just subtracted 274 from Tuesday and got 9.
Oh, that's pretty clever.
So there you have it. Someone who's struggling and working so hard to take care of her husband, going through progressive Alzheimer's disease, and she's able to laugh and share it with others. Now, we have Ruby Red Hats. 10 Rules for Living Plus One. This is from the book, The Red Hat Society, that bestseller that I mentioned. We'll talk about the first 6 during the first half of the show, and then we'll talk about the remainder on the second half. The first 6. 1. Accept reality and live in the here and now. 2. Accentuate the positive. 3. Nurture yourself. 4. Indulge your sense of humor. 5. Play. 6. Dress up. Now I want to play something, a little poem read by Mr. Dr. Saul Elkin, that also can get us started.
The golden years have come at last. I cannot see, I cannot pee, I cannot chew, can't tie my shoe. My muscles lost their flex, sure can't have sex. My memory shrinks, my hearing stinks. No sense of smell, I look like hell. My body's drooping, got trouble pooping. The golden years have come at last. The golden years. Ooh, what a blast.
Thank you, Dr. Elkin. I'm sure everyone agrees. That's fun. Now, is that daily life? That's the question. And how do we cope with that? Let's just talk now.
Okay.
How'd you get involved in the Red Hat Society? What does it do for you? Do you encourage other people to get involved?
Well, I don't know about anybody else.
This is Jean.
Our Red Hat group is a result of what I think of as concentric circles. You know, Buffalo's a small town, and you meet people and get involved in a group, and then you lose contact, and you meet others. And eventually, as life went on, suddenly we're all at the same spot, you know, as if we were in school again. And I was out one day for lunch with my husband and saw these women having a good time, and I thought, hey, what the heck, why not us? So we started, and we have 20 solid people in our group and a waiting list.
20 regulars, okay.
And so we use that sub-list a lot because there's always somebody who can't make it. And we go different places for lunch. We've done, let me see, we just were at Beechwood and we did a little dance thing for them, for better or for worse.
What kind of dancing was that?
Well, we danced to Chicago.
Chicago,
yeah,
okay.
Let Us Entertain You, and it was like 40 hours worth of practice for 3 minutes.
Now, was this a high-stepping routine, or?
Well, as high as we can get.
Okay.
Soft shoe jazz.
So you had your taps on and all that?
No, soft shoe.
Oh, soft shoe. That's not taps. Okay, I know. Okay, soft shoe
sneakers.
Is...
Sneakers.
Sneakers. Okay, sneakers.
I've never seen anybody dance with sneakers.
Okay.
And what else have we... Oh, we just had a daughter's luncheon, and that was really wonderful. We just really all had a really good time. We invited our daughters, and the daughters... believe it or not, really enjoyed it, too.
Now, they enjoyed it, and were they happy for you that you were together in this group and doing these things? Did they notice any difference in you because of the group?
I don't know. Janet, what do you think? I think most of our daughters thought we were nuts.
I think they really enjoyed it, though, and they want to come back again next year. And the daughters who weren't there this year are going to be sure that they come back next year. And they, their criteria, they had to wear pink hats and something orchid. And a few did.
The daughters,
yes,
daughters wear that. So they're not quite to the red hat stage, right?
Okay. So the pink signifies that they're younger. They're our daughters. But
okay.
We had a very good turnout. We had 56 people there.
Wow. And the orchid is not quite purple, I guess, right?
For
the
right.
Purple boas and things like that.
Right.
So do you have to be a wild and crazy person to begin with to join the club?
No.
Or do you bring in shy people? And
anybody who wants to come in, we enjoy their company. They're a pleasure to have.
And do they enjoy it, too?
Yes. They do. We haven't had anyone quit.
Nope.
We have a waiting list.
Well, you know, I did a web search on the Red Hat Society website, and there are probably 50 or more clubs in the Western New York area, and many are actually closed to new members. And one of the hallmarks of the clubs, the fun they have, is the naming of the club itself. Now, what's the name of your club?
The Glad Hatties.
The Glad Hatties.
We have a name yet?
No. Okay, and we
just begun. So.
And our dancing group is called the Dynamite Dollies.
Dynamite Dollies. Okay, so Dorothy and Gail, they're a relatively new group, and they haven't found just the right name yet. And so they're going to work on that. But here are some of the names. We have Chapeau Rouge. We have the Crimson Featherettes, the Crimson Chicks, the Glad Hatters, Golden Not Olden, Grand Dames, Hot Mamas of the Business Office, Mad Hatters of Buffalo, Red Hat Chicks, Western New York, Red Hat Mamas, Red Hatted Hotties, Red Roamers, Red Roses and Pink Buds, Ritzy Red Hatters of Lancaster, Scarlet O'Hatters, that's cute, and Sloan Sweet Tarts, Tonawanda Cuties, Twin Ton Tootsies, that's from Tonawanda, and Strawberry Tarts of Western New York, and that's just a few. So I think there's a lot more names out there to be had. Now, we're here to take calls also. We want you to call in any questions you might have for these ladies about joining clubs, about how humor and fun is important in your life and how you might wish you had more of it. Please call. The phone lines are open, 855-6848, and other questions. If you have general questions about things that are going on as you're getting older, or if you have an older person you're caring about or worried about, please call. Now, let's continue. What else can you tell me? The new chapter. The new chapter, and how did you decide to start?
Well, I live at Canterbury Woods, and Gail's our activities director. And so we got started through Gail, and we have, 40, 45 members? And I think it's going to keep increasing as the other ladies at Canterbury see what fun we have. Only have had one activity, and it was a nice luncheon out on our patio. And it was fun when we walked through the dining room while the waitresses were standing there watching us, because it was our first endeavor. And we had a great time.
So the Red Hats are really an excuse to get together and where people might not otherwise get together or know how to join a group or enter a social situation. It makes it easy. Everyone has worn hats in the past, and everyone likes to have fun.
Dressing up almost puts a smile on your face as you walk into a restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Because all heads turn.
Well, that's how I became familiar with the red hat ladies. I was in a restaurant having lunch, and I saw these ladies walking in, all with red hats.
And so it put a smile on your face right away.
Yeah.
Yes,
I just wanted to say one of the criteria for our first luncheon was I insisted that everybody wear a purple something and a red hat. And it caught a lot of people off guard. They didn't have an opportunity to go out. And the creativity of the hats was amazing. We had scarves. We had boas wrapped around our heads. We had anything under the sun. Some ladies took spray paint and painted a hat. So it was really exciting because everybody came dressed appropriately.
That's great.
Yeah. It was really fun.
We got two callers.
Two callers. Okay. Okay, fine. We have a long distance caller. Hello? You're on the air.
Hello? Okay. I'm calling from my summer home at Sunset Bay. Did you hear it?
Yeah, you're on the air. I hear you.
And you don't know, you wouldn't dare recognize my voice.
Well, I don't know. I might if you give me a second. But
no, that's okay. I'm Mrs. Lesh. You know, my husband's up there, Vinny Lesh.
Hello?
You know, one day I called you in and you kicked his lungs for me?
Yes.
You remember me?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I have a sinus condition. You know, I have sinuses.
Okay.
Which bother me a lot.
Yes.
Would that cause a pain in somebody's eye?
Oh, yeah, certainly. One of the things I always check, if someone says they complain of pain or pressure behind the eyes, is whether they might have a sinus problem. Sinus problems are very common.
I have sinuses in my eye. I have the pain on it. Not constant.
Is that you?
No.
Is that you or is that me?
No, that's your line. That's your line. I think people are trying to call you. People are trying to call you, I guess.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
All right, I hear you loud and clear now.
Okay, how's everything at the home?
Yeah, okay. So have you been treated for sinus problems in the past?
Oh, yeah. I take Claritin.
Okay.
And I've had the prescription drugs, too, but I don't remember exactly what they were. But it's a chronic thing that I have all the time, you know?
Right. Well, let me ask the ladies. I'm sure we have some experience with sinus problems around the table.
Okay.
Well, what advice could you give, ladies? Okay, we have a hot pack on the head.
Oh, just tell my pain in my eye, especially in the morning when I wake up.
That's right. Well, you know, one thing, chronic sinus problems could also be from allergies. And I don't know if you've ever had any kind of allergy testing or if you have pets in the house.
No,
sometimes dust in the vents and different things that are in the air system in the house can cause sinus congestion.
Yeah. Well, mine is strictly sinus. I don't believe it's an allergy. I think it's sinus.
Okay. Well, if it's chronic and it's causing you distress on a day-to-day basis, you might want to get it checked out by an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's one approach, because there are things that can be done, and you shouldn't have to suffer every day from a sinus problem.
That's terrible. When I wake up in the morning, that one eye is shut tight, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I would recommend you talk to your primary doctor and ask for them to recommend a specialist, or tell your primary doctor that you don't want to suffer from this anymore.
No, that pain is sometimes it gets real bad, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I take a couple of Tylenol, or I'll take the Claritin, and it clears up.
Right.
But
well,
I have it almost every day, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'd go and, you know, see a specialist or press your primary care doctor to try and help you a little bit more, because to suffer every day from the same thing where there's lots of ways to approach it and help you, I think you shouldn't have to suffer like that.
It's kind of foolish.
Okay.
Well,
I'm glad you called. Good talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
And I hope that helped. Do something about it. Don't just suffer.
No, I'm going to have to soon because it's getting worse.
And you'll feel better. Get in, get a checkup, get some more information. They'll give you some new approaches and set yourself a goal for in a month from now. You're not going to be suffering every day like this.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. Any more calls on the line right now?
The shy ones will call back.
The shy ones will call back. Okay. Well, so what do you think, ladies? These day-to-day things, these little annoying pains like sinus congestion and headache and pressure behind the eye, do you think a lot of people just feel it's part of getting older and they really don't do anything about it?
Go ahead, Janet.
Well, sometimes a little exercise will help, especially walking. It kind of takes your mind off your problems a little bit.
Uh-huh. And do you exercise regularly?
I walk.
All right.
I play golf.
You play golf?
Mm-hmm.
And where do you play? Where do you play?
Evergreen and Shawnee.
Can I ask what your handicap is?
It's high. We have A, B, and C. I'm C player.
Well, how's your putting? That's the key.
Good.
Putting?
I don't drive very far.
Well, you know, if I could only hit the ball straight 150 yards each time, I might be a lot better player than I am trying to kill the ball off the tee each time.
I hit straight, but not far.
Well, that's great. So we have a golfer here. Do we have any other sports enthusiasts?
Used to play tennis, but as you get older, I guess you have to give things up every once in a while.
Okay, well, tennis is pretty stressful, you know, on the bones and the knees. It is fun.
Yes.
My mom's coming up on 70 years old, and she plays tennis with my dad, who's a couple years older, and they play every morning. They're down in Florida, and they play before it gets too hot. And, you know, they don't press and try and reach for those ones in the corner quite as much as they used to.
Just get the ball through each other.
Yeah, you have to know your limitations, but it doesn't mean you have to stop doing all the things you've enjoyed.
Right.
Anything else?
We play volleyball in our pool.
Pool volleyball, that is fun. Pool volleyball is fun, and if you don't feel like hitting the ball, you can just turn around, dive into the water, and swim a little bit. All right. You know what? We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back. We're taking more. Oh, we have two calls. Okay. Well, then we won't take a break. Let's have the calls. No, we'll take both before the break.
Sure.
Hello. It's Dr. Stahl. Yes, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, you follow baseball?
What's that?
You follow baseball?
Yes, I do.
What's your favorite team?
My favorite team? Am I being set up for something? Well, it's the Yankees, of course. I was born in the Bronx. I have to be a Yankee fan.
Centurions. What about Centurions?
Centurions. I'm not familiar with that baseball team. Tell me something about the Centurions.
They're very interesting.
Okay.
Years old.
Okay, well...
And they're Warriors.
And they're Warriors. All right, well, I appreciate that. The Yankees are my team, and I apologize to anyone out there who hate the Yankees, where I'm sure there are a few. And if there's Boston fans out there, Boston Red Sox fans, I do heartily appreciate your suffering, I don't at all pity you.
Do you like the Cubs?
The Cubs, they're okay. You know, they're a little far west for me. I'm an East Coast kind of person, and the Yankees are my team. How about you, ladies? Are you baseball fans? Did you say you're a Yankee fan?
Yes, I am, but I have a friend, Joan Maley, who is a Yankee fan like you wouldn't believe.
Uh-huh.
She watches all the Yankee games.
Does she? Okay.
She knows the batting averages and from years ago.
No kidding.
And today.
So she watches all the games. Does she have any Boston Red Sox fans that she watches the games with?
No.
No.
She doesn't
associate with those people?
Oh, yeah. I visit her in Florida at Fort Myers, and the Boston Red Sox team is there, but we always go to watch the Yankees and the Red Sox play.
Okay.
And, of course, we're kind of outnumbered with the Red Sox fans.
Yeah, well...
That's okay. We enjoy it.
Well, the Yankees do buy their teams, but it is fun watching them. I admit that. Okay, well, thanks for calling. Didn't you say we had another caller, Jimmy? Okay, we'll take that call.
Bye.
Hello?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, hello.
Hello.
Yes.
My question is, what's the vitamin B12 for?
Vitamin B12.
Uh-huh.
Ladies, any experience with vitamin B12?
Energy.
My mother used to get a shot once a week, vitamin B12, and it really kept her going.
Well, vitamin B12 is an essential vitamin, and if you have a problem where you don't have enough B12 in your body, and there could be a problem with absorbing B12 in your stomach or not getting enough in your diet, but if you have low B12, it can cause anemia, and it can cause fatigue and tiredness. It can also cause thinking problems. And like I talked about last week a little bit, when talking about memory problems, B12 levels is something we always check for to see if that might be making a memory problem worse, an energy problem worse, or if your blood count is low, it might be causing a low blood count.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me why you ask?
Because my doctor wants me to get it, try it, and I just wondered for sure. I thought it was sort of an anemia type problem, so... That answers my question.
Yeah, do you have anemia?
No. But I think I was a little low there.
Okay, well, it's a very safe drug, and there are really no known bad effects from the B12. I've never had any patient say they didn't tolerate the B12, and getting a shot, usually I start my patients on shots once a week and then go to once a month after 4 weeks. And some people can even go to pills, that you can take pills, and that would give you enough excess that gets absorbed and provides enough B12 in your body to correct the problems that it's causing. So I would forge ahead and do what your doctor recommends in this case and see if it helps you to feel better.
Yeah, that's what I did. I had a couple of injections. Now I'm on the pill.
Do you notice, is it helping you at all?
Yeah. Yeah, I need a little more energy, but that's...
Okay, well, sometimes it takes...
Sometimes I'm hoping.
All right, if you have some more energy, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes a couple months to build up the level and correct the problems that have been there on a long-standing basis from the low B12.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have another question.
Go ahead.
With taking Vioxx for arthritis...
Right.
Is there any problem with... cutting back on that?
Well,
Another question, too, along with that. Does arthritis tend to come and go?
Well, all right. There's some chuckling here by the red hat lady. So let's get their experience, and then we'll come back to your specific question. Jean?
Yes, it comes and goes.
Okay.
I think it has to do with the weather, although don't ask me why. But some days it's bad, and other days it's hardly noticeable.
Yeah, I've had a lot of patients tell me, Arthur's here to visit today, but the next day, Arthur's nowhere to be found. You know, arthritis. anyone else want to comment about arthritis? Certainly, it's a very common problem, and I would say most people, you know, over 70 years old have some degree of arthritis.
Oh, I found that out. I think they do.
Well, let me ask you, you want to cut back. Is there a reason you want
well,
to
Well, I thought if some days, you know, I don't think I need it. Now, if I would take it every other day, I'll talk with a check with the doctor, too, but if I take it every other day, or there's no, you wouldn't have to taper off or anything like that.
No, no, there's no need to taper off. The, the main reason stop it in my patients is if they have some kind of GI upset from it, then it can cause ulcers. So that's the most dangerous potential side effect, though it's safer than the older drugs that used to be given and still are given for arthritis pain. They're called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents. Basically, it's a drug like ibuprofen and drugs in that class. So Vioxx and Celebrex and now there's Bextra as well, are newer drugs that don't cause those bad GI side effects as often, but they still can. Now, the one danger of tapering back or not taking the drug because you don't think you need it is that you might feel you don't need it because it is helping you on a day-to-day basis.
Well, that's, yeah, that's what I was wondering, and I wondered... I think maybe every other day for a while, but...
Yeah, there's no problem with not taking it and seeing if your pain comes back.
Yeah.
But, you know, I emphasize to my patients that if they do have pain on a daily basis, it's better to prevent that pain than to wait till you get it and then try and take something to make it go away.
Absolutely, right.
So I hope, does that cover...
yeah, that does it. That's what. I just didn't want to get in trouble with...
Okay. Well, make sure you keep your doctor posted, though, on what you're doing. It's critical.
Sure. Yeah, she even takes phone calls, so that's pretty safe that way.
That's wonderful. Make sure you, you know, you... It's okay to experiment, but include the doctor in the experiments. Okay,
sure.
And I'm sure the doctor, you know, doctors are more flexible than most people think, but they just want to be kept in the loop and know what's going on.
Know what's happening. Okay.
Yeah.
You got that right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're
you know
very
what?
Welcome.
You know what? And we didn't, nobody knew you were on until we shot in the paper.
Well, I'm my own publicity person right now, and maybe out of the Red Hat Society I can find a publicity manager for the show, or if you want to volunteer.
You know, I really think a lot of people would be interested if they knew about it.
Well, I'm trying to get the word out, and, you know, anyone that's willing to help, you know, by word of mouth, I hope that... I hope that within 6 months, you know, more people are taking advantage of my guests and what we're going to be talking about. So.
Okay, I'll pass it on.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Okay, we're going to take a short break now, and then we'll be right back with the ladies of the Red Hat Society. Okay, we're back. My guest today, the ladies of the Red Hat Society. Now, we have two different types of Red Hat groups here. We have an unofficial group, I guess you'd call an unaffiliated group, and then an official group that paid their dues and signed up with the national group. And I don't know that there's, too much actual difference that I see around the table right now. And there's people that are members of both groups, people that are members of unaffiliated groups and affiliated groups. Do you want to say anything about that? And what the, I think it was $35 that you sent in to be an official group, and this is the group from Canterbury Woods that has no name at the current time. And I think it was just a way to make a statement that we're going to get the ball rolling and get some information in the mail from the national organization. I know from the website they're selling everything in the world that you would ever want to buy. And so it might be a little bit commercial, which things tend to get after a grassroots thing gets started. It tends to get commercialized. But I think the basic Ruby Red Hat's 10 rules for living plus one is what both groups try to live by. Now, I went through the first six earlier, and I'll just read those again. Accept reality and live in the here and now. 2, accentuate the positive. 3, nurture yourself. 4, indulge your sense of humor. 5, play. 6, dress up. Now, here's 7 through 10, and then plus 1. 7, cultivate an openness to new things. 8, express your creativity. 9, exercise compassion. 10, have courage. And 11, make up for the sobriety of your youth. Now, we don't have to go into whether everyone's youth was necessarily sober or not. I won't ask you that. But let me play another quick segment, which is an interview I had with several patients. And what I do with my patients, generally each time they come in, is I ask them on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the pits or terrible, and 10 is great, how is your life right now? And this is what some of my patients said a few weeks ago.
And where 1 is the pits or terrible, and 10 is great, how do you feel today?
Right now, I feel 8.5.
8.5. Okay.
Right.
How do we get it to a 9 or a 9.5?
Well, if you can control my involuntary tremors a little bit, and if you could do something for my eyes, then I would be a 10.
Great.
Can you give it a number?
10.
10?
Mm-hmm.
You can't feel any better, huh?
Mm-mm.
Feel probably about a 7.
All right, how can I help you get it to an 8?
Find out what's disturbing my sleep.
Okay, well, let's talk about that.
Oh, I think maybe 7.
7? Okay.
Yeah. How today, but in the morning, I feel like maybe 4.
Well, a 5 or 6.
Anything I can do to help make it a 7?
Not that I know of.
All right, why is it only a 5 or 6 and not a 10?
Well, I don't think my life is perfect, and I don't think much of life is perfect. And
what would you consider a 10, a life that's a 10?
I don't have any idea. I've never thought about life that much.
Would it be like when you were 20 years old, would you say your life was a 10?
Not necessarily. It's been ordinary all my life.
So you would have considered it a 5 or 6 back then, too?
5 or 6, yes.
Half and half. The upper half is 10.
Okay.
The bottom half is 1.
You feel great. So would that be a 10 or a 9? 10 means you're perfect.
Nobody is perfect.
Okay.
So let it be a 9.
Okay, it's a 9. How can I help you to try to get to be a 10? Is it getting these medication orders straightened out with the...
Yes.
With AARP?
Yes.
Oh, 8, I guess. I feel okay.
All right.
I'm not sick today.
Okay, well, good. And now, how can I help you to get that to a 9? You have a list. Now, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is the pits or terrible, and 10 is great, how would you say you feel today?
Absolutely 10.
10?
Without any question.
How can I help you to get to an 11?
To an 11? By just talking to me, if I can go up to 25.
Ah, yes. See what talking does for people. I once had a patient call and leave a message for me, and she said, Doctor, what I need, and she was going to say she needed some medications, but instead she said, Doctor, what I need is you, but I can't have you, so can you please call in these medications for me? And then I had another lady that, these are true stories, a 90-some-odd-year-old lady who I saw for the first time, and we're talking, and she said, Doctor, you have good bedside manner. And I said, I've never been to your bedside. And she said, you could come anytime.
Hey.
So, okay, we have phone calls. Let's take a phone call. Hello, it's Dr. Stahl.
Hi, Dr. Stahl.
Yes.
This is Peg from Amherst.
Okay. Peg from Amherst.
I'm 72, look 82, feel 52. I'm overweight, told to lose weight. I really do not eat a lot of fattening food. I have very bad leg ulcers, walk with a cane, so as a result, I really can't walk as exercise. Would the Red Hat Lady Society have any members in their in this predicament and they could help me out?
Well, let's ask them. What types of problems do people have, and what about this lady? Can we send out an invitation?
Wow, I don't know anybody who has bad legs in our group, do you? Oh, well, we have someone who walks with a cane. I think most of our women have had, well, after talking to all the women in our group, I didn't know there were so many things that could go wrong with the human body.
But, well, I guess the answer then is yes, that there are people in the groups that do have multiple problems. Now, what benefit, how does the group handle things? Do people talk about their medical problems, and do they encourage people or help point them in the right direction? Has that been something that's been happening up to now?
We don't really give health advice.
Okay.
But we share. We share our
you
problems.
Share. Okay.
Problems,
right?
You know, I have that. But
okay, so really? So it's a good support group,
yeah,
certainly.
It's very good, yeah. Support group.
And Gail.
I was just going to say, when you're having a good time, you sort of forget what your health issues are, and that's one of the benefits of the Red Hat Society. The whole thing is, the whole premise is to have a good time, and when everybody's having a good time, you just don't sit around and talk about what your ailments are. You just have a good time, and you get absorbed into the program and the laughing and just enjoy each other. So I think the Red Hat Society is sort of can help your health, in that it at least takes you away for the period that you're with the other ladies.
Now, you said you're 72, you look 82, and you feel 52?
Right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, well, feeling 52, I think, is a definite asset. So with all these problems, you still feel like you're 52. And so how does that fit in with the leg problems and the overweight?
I don't know. I would just really like to find some way to lose weight. I can't really say it's the food I eat.
Well,
and naturally I can't get out and do a lot of exercising. Because, well, you know, the doctors would say, elevate the leg to heal the legs up. Elevate it, but then they tell you to go out and walk. How can I?
It's hard to walk with your legs elevated. Maybe in space you could do that, but I don't think anywhere else. I know, we doctors sometimes give conflicting advice, I guess you'd say.
Oh, I'm glad you agree.
Well, you know, I had to deal with some weight myself, and I found, you know, that I didn't think I was overeating, but there are little things on a day-to-day basis, if you can avoid that piece of pie or that extra scoop of mashed potatoes or rice, I went to a restaurant for a fish fry. I had the broiled fish, but I got the rice pilaf, and that rice pilaf was about 700 calories a cup. Who would ever think that rice pilaf had that kind of calories? So things like that. I'd recommend you write down what you're eating. You know, 1 week you write down everything you're eating and try and match that up to the total number of calories. You might be surprised at that. Two, weight could be medical problems like thyroid disease, and I don't know if that's been checked for you, but that's a simple blood test to see whether you have thyroid problems, which would lower your overall metabolism and make you predisposed to gaining weight. That's another thing. Maybe some of your weight is fluid. You mentioned you have leg ulcers, and the leg ulcers sometimes are from excess fluid, edema in the legs, and perhaps some of the weight is excess fluid overall in your body. I did Weight Watchers myself, and I found that helpful. It's a nice support group, and you kind of have fun at those meetings. I'm sure Red Hat societies, deal with overweight and talk to each other. I don't know if one specializes in overweight or leg ulcers per se, but if your social circle is small, I think broadening it out, joining a group like the Red Hat Society can only help and give you some more ideas on how to address your problems.
It sounds good.
Okay, well, you have to go out and do it, and you have to set yourself a goal. I emphasize to my patients, you set a goal. Where do you want to be a month from now or 2 months from now? If you want to lose 10 pounds over the next two months, that's about 1 pound a week. Not too bad. Okay, and you weigh yourself daily, you write down what you eat, and you might be surprised that you're going to get somewhere with that.
Okay, what would you recommend for the calories for the day? How many?
Well, I don't. It depends how tall you are. It depends. The exercise. I don't know how much. You're not walking because you're spending your time elevating your legs. So, exercise certainly, but there's other ways to do exercise. You can even Gene here is doing a weightlifting motion. Just get some, light weights to keep your arms toned up. You can put ankle weights on. They sell them at Dick's Sporting Goods. You can put that on your ankles. I don't know if that's going to cause problems with your leg ulcers, so, I would talk to your doctor about that. But there are also nutritional counselors, and maybe a good place for you to start would be to call Erie County Senior Services, and they can point you in the right direction. I gave the phone number earlier, and let me try and find it again. Erie County Senior Services is 858-8526.
Okay.
So try calling them and see if they can point you in the right direction for weight loss and exercise and companionship. But remember, set a goal for yourself and then reward yourself when you achieve that goal. That can be, cheating on whatever diet you might be on or get yourself a red hat. Maybe that'll be the goal.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good talking to you. You're welcome.
I feel so much better just talking to you.
Okay. Well, I'm glad.
Thank you.
I'm glad. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay. Well, so you do talk about your medical problems, but certainly you don't want to dwell on that in the group. The group is to have fun and to forget things, to get away. To get away.
And actually how it started. The Red Hat Society started by someone who had a friend who was down in the dumps, and she went out and she thought, what can I get her? And she got her a red hat, and it caught on. Someone else was down the dumps. She got her red hat, and before they knew it, they had a bunch of friends that were all wearing red hats, and that's sort of how it all began.
Well, the down in the dumps, the isolation, the loneliness, it's amazing what friendship, what humor and fun can do. And what I like to say is, if I have a patient that looks like they're depressed, I try to cure that with hugs instead of drugs. And I had a patient that came into my office, and one of the top three things that she mentioned was that she wished someone would give her a big hug. And her face looked like the face of a lonely, depressed, older person. And I talked to her. I examined her. We went through all the usual things, and she told me two other things. She wished she had male companionship and just someone to talk to. So she was isolated, and when she left the office, I gave her a hug, and I asked a nurse in the office to come over, and she gave her a hug, and then one of the doctors who I'd never seen run before runs down the hall to give this lady a big hug. And that did the job for many years. And in fact, when I finally did try an antidepressant medication, it almost killed her, as it turned out. So I stopped that very quickly, went back to the hugs, and that's where we're at today. So, you know, groups like the Red Hat Society are so important. And because you might call it a fad right now that everyone's jumping on the bandwagon, but I think everyone's doing it because it makes sense. You know, people want to be with other people. And you heard Barbara Streisand singing in the break, people who need people. And I think that's the key to the groups like the Red Hat Society. There are other groups that also certainly are out there. There are service groups if you're interested in volunteering. There's numerous opportunities out there. I'm looking for people to work on my radio show and to help me publicize the radio show. So, you know, there's give me a call and I'll find a place for you. And I don't pay much, and I'm not paying myself anything at all for this show. But there's loads of opportunities, and you know, contact a Red Hat person, poke around a little bit, call the Erie County Senior Services. And you'll find something that makes your life meaningful. I think it's meaning and hope and having goals, something to look forward to. That's the key. Isn't that what you would say, ladies?
Well, I think put a smile on your face and someone else will smile back.
That's right.
I have to tell you a story about when we went to Beechwood 3 weeks ago and we put on this little dance for these people. And there was one man who was sitting there looking sad. And I went up to him and I said, "You don't look really happy." And he said, "I'm not." And I said, "But we're here to entertain you." And he said to us, "Well, it looks like you're entertaining yourselves." Because we were having such a good time doing it for them.
So did you grab him by the arm and pull him up?
Well, I asked him if he'd like to dance, and I didn't get anywhere on that.
Well, just by your talking to him, I think, I bet he remembers that day. And,
well, we'll see.
Jimmy, did you have anything there, any phone calls? Or
No.
It's still pretty quiet.
Each one till one.
Okay.
Thousands.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
That's right. That's Jimmy's rules for building an audience for a show. Well, the only reason we want to build the audience is so that more people can benefit from what's being talked about, from the guests that I had on the show and that I have on the show today. So we're coming down to a close, and let's go over once again the 10 plus 1, and let's focus on the last several, that if I can find the right page here. And here we go. Cultivate an openness to new things, okay? And that's...
Stay out of the rut.
Stay out of the rut. Right, get out of the rut. If you're in a rut, get out of it. Think about things that make you happy, that's enjoyable, things you think you might not be able to do because of your age, but there are amazing ways to find a way to do things. Can you give an example of things people in the group have been reluctant to do, but maybe have tried and actually enjoyed? What kind of new things have people tried?
Just to put that red hat on.
Okay.
And come out in public.
And purple.
Right.
And that's being seen, right. That's right.
That was a big step.
Yeah. If you would do that on your own, you'd probably be embarrassed, or people would think you're a kook or something.
You have like two or three other people and just decide to put a purple top on and a red hat and go out and have lunch. Just to
people looking at you enjoy.
That's right. They get a smile on their face.
Giving them a smile.
That's right. So we're talking about some wild and crazy gals going out there and just having fun together.
That's right.
Now, does anyone know of a Red Hat Society parallel for men? Or do you think men are incapable of this kind of fun?
Well, I think they're more reluctant, yes, indeed.
They don't get to be so serious.
Do they? I don't know.
They're
talking.
They're
All right. Well, I think that's something maybe we need to work on, is to get the guys out there doing some crazy things and having fun also and not being so serious all the time. Now, here we have courage. It's courage to put on a red hat, courage to go out in public like that. What other kinds of courage have you seen that people have experienced in joining the group? Or that you've had in your life as you've gotten older, how have you summoned up your courage to live life into the older years?
Well, I was going to say, from my experiences with the people I work with, they've gone through many changes in their life, losing a spouse in some cases, and just that, and the courage to go on and to continue making friends, going out every day, being socially active, even though a lifelong spouse is no longer a part of their life. I see that daily, and I think that they are people who are very much enjoying their life. So, that takes a lot of courage.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I've been a widow since age 42, so it took a lot of courage through the years.
Right.
Enjoying life.
And I see people with a lot of illnesses, that, from depression to debilitating illnesses, that just keep going. And sometimes you would never know. We had a mutual friend who had cancer very badly, and other events in their life that were tragic. And she was amazing. You would never know she had a problem in the world.
Well, and I've seen that in patients I've had, and people come to me and say, look at me, shouldn't I be depressed with all of this that's going on? And I tell them, there's people in your situation, and even worse off than you are, that aren't depressed. They look forward to each day and are happy.
Mm-hmm.
And how to change that state of mind from one of hopelessness to one of hope. And I think the Red Hat Society is one way to do that. There are other go ahead, Dorothea.
To me, Wes, it isn't what happens to people that is nearly as important as how they take what happens to them.
Yeah,
exactly.
It isn't what happens, it's how they take what happens to them. That's so true. And do you think anyone can feel better than they do right now? People that might be out there alone and down in the dumps and feeling that there's nothing left to their life, can anyone?
You have choices. I remember reading something about a person who was in a Nazi camp, and how they kept themselves going, and they decided that they could be happy about getting up in the day, or they could be wiped out by it. And they chose the positive one because it was better.
So people, even in the worst possible situation, a concentration camp during World War II,
right,
are able to get through.
Faith helps a lot.
Oh, indeed.
For people to get through.
And faith.
Problem.
And faith does help. I did a survey as part of a health fair at a senior apartment building, and 60% of the people said that faith helps keep them going.
That's everything.
And faith can be a sincere, devoted religious faith, or faith in humankind and things to look forward to. So there's a wide variety of faith. And how would you describe the range of faith? And what type of faith are you talking about?
I'm talking about religious faith.
Okay.
I think my religion has helped me through the years.
And
goodbye.
And you know, many of my patients, you know, feel there's a better place to come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of religious faith. What other types of faith?
Faith and inspiration from others. For instance, someone who you know is in a bad place but doesn't act it is an inspiration.
Indeed.
And creates faith for other people. And you see it every day. You see the people that are succumbing to their problems and those that are have a happy attitude and are going forth. And those are the people that inspire other people and create, you know, a form of faith. It's not a religion. It's just an inspiration.
Well, I think that's all the time we have today. We had a great time here today. I thank all of you for being here. I hope the audience got something out of it. Go and do something about it. This is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? I'll see you next week. Next week we'll have the phone lines open for whatever you want to call me about. I'm going to try to get some special guests to help me along the way. And you call in to WHLD 1270 AM 855-6848. Thanks to Barbara Streisand again for singing People at our break. And we don't have time for the Queen Mother's poem, so we're going to sign off for today. Have a nice day and enjoy your dinner.
Mornings go for a ride, doing the garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me? When I'm 64, every summer we can rent a cottage in the Isle of Wight if it's not too dear.
5 o'clock, and the next voice you'll hear is Ronnie D. Drive Time Pokers on AM 1270 WHLD, a Citadel Broadcasting Communication Station.
Grandchildren on your knee, Vera, Chuck, and Dave. Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me? When I'm